Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to say to His people. The last broadcast, we talked about how we absorb the Word when we hear it. That's the only time we mix faith with it and keep it, when it gets in our heart. If 100% of the word that we ever heard got in our heart, we would be able to do any miracle we wanted to. Some things we receive more than others. And remember, when you're trying to receive the word, the enemy don't want you to know the things of God. He's still trying to hide heaven from you. He's still trying to hide God's ways from you. The enlightenment of God's word, the revelation of God's word. He wants that to be as far away from you as he can get it. So he uses distractions and temptations. Now I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes people think of temptation as a man lusting after a woman or a person tempted to steal money, but that's not always the temptation. So if something bad happens, something undesirable happens, there's a temptation to give in to misery. There's a temptation to give in to fear. There's a temptation to have a doubtful disposition. There's a temptation to even be in pride or be depressed or remain depressed. Sometimes people have enough sense to say, hey, I gotta snap out of this. But the temptation says, oh, just give in. As if it's going to do you some good. It's the same thing. It's a temptation. A temptation to doubt. A temptation to be in unbelief or remain in unbelief. Or to remain in fear. Or to let someone bully your life. Remember, whoever you fear has the mastery of your life. And that kind of fear attaches Satan to your life. And whatever you fear will happen against you. And you're the one that'll cause it. Because you fear it. And you're acting on it. You're speaking it. You're charging it. And you're making yourself vulnerable. An easy prey for ripoff. And Satan is the one ripping you off. And others like him. There were preachers who were charlatans, who they were not preachers, but they just they're in it for the fame and fortune. You know, if you study 2 Peter and also Jude, it talks against the false prophet and it warns us not to get away from the leaven of the Pharisee. That's all it is, the false prophet, the leaven of the Pharisee grew out of control. You know, yeast make the flour rise when it's hot. So that kind of leaven, it'll leaven everything. And it bears in the fruit that's bore from leaven, false prophet preachers that have swallowed the leaven of the Pharisee. They adopted those ways. They're the people that come along in their ministry. Things go negative when you fear. When you act on fears and when you act on when you fear man, it attaches Satan to your life and things go south. And he will use the fear to control you into doing everything necessary to bring that fear to pass. You know, fear works with the spirit. It's not just something that's it's not the temptation of fear. It operates, it's trying to get in your heart. And even if it's in your mind, if you keep saying it and acting on it, it gets worse. It only gets worse. Anything of Satan, that there's a temptation to give in and just let everything go, listen, that's not going to do you any good. You have to fight for your life. We talked about that in the last broadcast. And the way you do it, you receive God's word. You have to absorb it. You have to receive it. Sometimes people put up a shield against it. Because they fear, that fear works against them receiving the word. or because they receive the temptation to give in, that temptation to give in will work against the strength of the word and cause people to not receive the word of God. If you want something too bad and you're lusting after it and you're thinking about it, it will interfere with how you receive the word. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. At that point, you remain receptive to God and you can learn from it. Now, when people don't learn from the Lord, the process of life, they stall it out. And they'll revert back to what they understand. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. You're going to trust something. Whatever you trust the most, that's what you're going to vote on. That's what you're going to say. That's what you're going to do. That's what you will obey. People obey what they trust. But you're able, by the Holy Spirit, control what to trust in God. You can control whether you trust God or not. If you can say it with your mouth, you can do it. If you can say, I trust God, you may not feel like you trust God, but say it anyway. Say, I will trust God. I trust God. I do trust God. I will trust God. I desire to trust God. And the desire to trust God will increase. And when he says something, you won't buck against it. Jesus asked Saul, why do you, it's hard, he made a statement. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The pricks that's the word that he heard from Stephen. And he was kicking against it. He was trying to justify himself. See, he read the scriptures, not the format of God, but in pride, which is a form of idolatry. He was using the wisdom and knowledge of God as a platform for his own gain, because he thought he was righteous by doing the law. The law cannot make you righteous. The law is for the lawless. Following a bunch of rules and regulations is what you're supposed to do anyway. Every man already broke the law. He sinned. They had to do atonement things. They had to, if they sinned and they knew it, they had to give a sacrifice and pay for it and take it to the priest to have their sins atoned. And it didn't wash them away. And they had to do this periodically. And the only way to kill sin out of your life, and the only way you can really do it is the blood of Jesus. It has to be washed away. And from there, you're able to walk in love. And if you can walk in love, you can win. When you walk in love, when you operate by the love of God, you don't desire sin anymore. You desire the things of God, the living things. And you don't want to steal somebody else's ox or lust after somebody's wife. Or you don't get mad when they get a new car. You're happy for people when they do well. And you're a friend sincerely. So when you follow God and his ways, you grow and you learn. Good things happen when you follow God. Terrible things happen when you don't. Even if you're not trying to do anybody wrong, terrible things will happen against you because there's a devil out there and the world is not towards God. And people will be mean to you. They won't understand you. They'll think you're wrong. They'll think they're right. They'll think you're trying to be better than them. They'll think you think you're better than them. They'll think you think they're beneath you. And the devil will just feed their mind with all kind of false thoughts. But you don't have to prove anything. Just live the life and it works. If they're around you long enough, they'll know that you got their back. They can judge. truth. Everybody can judge what's right. They know good and evil if they don't know anything else. So as we follow God, as we take Him at His word, we can go forward and not backwards. Now, when we were talking about receiving God's word, absorbing God's word, letting it be a part of us, just like good medicine, just like food, we absorb it and we grow stronger. When you eat your lunch, you have enough strength to finish the day. When you eat right, you can sleep better at night. A lot of things work when you're receiving what you need. So it is in life with God's word. When you receive God's word, you'll know how to make good decisions, how to not make bad ones. See, there are different types of wisdom. Some things will teach you how to do something well. And some scriptures teach you how to protect what you have. And some scriptures show you how to keep from being ripped off by others. Like when it said, don't be surety for any man. That means don't co-sign. Don't write people a blank check. Don't pay that way. It's not your responsibility to co-sign. They need to look to God. But it does say help those that can't help themselves. People that's been devastated. Their house burned down. Buy them some clothes. They help them. They need your help. It's obvious. Don't make them ask. But if they work every day, they just got to manage that money well like you do. And if they need your help, help them. But by the wisdom of God. And the word gives you formats of how to help people in that situation. Because the end result, they need to be looking at God. There are many people who want a handout. They don't need a handout as much as that won't solve the root problem. Help them get to know who the Lord is. And it works. Works good too. Now, as we go forward in life, we can do great things. People of God, the word says we know in part. So people act like they know in part. But you can learn God's word if you receive His word. Sometimes people only receive God's word according to a specific style. Anybody that taught that their pastor approves, or anybody that they respect, college professors, people like Kenneth Hagin. And I use him for an example. I love Kenneth Hagin. I follow his ministry since I've been a minister. And before that, I learned from him. But his ministry, I was attracted to his ministry more when I started ministering the Word of God. Because his ministry was more refined. He spoke with a greater wisdom, and I learned to receive better. He was different than the people that I first trusted, my personal pastor. I respected him too, and I looked up to him. But as I listened to Kenneth Hagin, his ministry was more refined, but good. And I'm not trying to compare people with people. That's not wise to do, because everybody's got something. Some people only receive from certain people, and they're missing out. Some people are of a different style, a different denomination. They may be a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher. All of them are good, wonderful, because the Holy Spirit is using His people. There are some Baptist preachers that teach but they don't teach that about speaking in tongues and they don't preach Pentecostal wise. Pentecostals is a whole nother style. They call it the full gospel. But every child of God who's born again, they are born again, and they have the Holy Spirit within, just as a pawn. The Pentecostals have the Holy Spirit within and also upon. Denominational churches have the Holy Spirit within. And they were taught, in many cases, they were taught that the Lord stopped giving people the Holy Spirit after the apostles died. That's a lie, but they teach it because that's what they were taught. We bear fruit after our kind. And because they were taught a certain way, they don't receive the Pentecostal way. And the Pentecostals don't like it, and they don't always receive the denominational way. But they are still God's people, saved by the same blood. Thank God for TBN. I've been blessed by Methodist and Baptist preachers, Holiness preachers, Pentecostal preachers, and just from every denomination that I've been acquainted with, I've been blessed by them. And I'm not saying that just to say it. I'm sincere, and it's true. Now, with that being said, some questions were raised in my heart. I heard some Baptist preachers, I said they might be secret tongue talkers because they're preaching by the Holy Ghost. And one day on the radio, I was doing a broadcast with my pastor, and he talked about the Holy Spirit within and also the Holy Spirit upon. I said, that's how they do that. They speak by the Holy Spirit because they're the Holy Spirit is on the inside. The baptism, Jesus said a few days later, you'll be the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But he had breathed on them before he ascended and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. And they received him within. Now you can study the scriptures for yourself. And if you can receive the word, you'll do better. We have the responsibility to receiving God's word. Now, with all that being said, there are those who receive God's word in part. They receive some things and they let other things go. Now, what's going to have to happen is learn to be receptive to whatever God brings to you. Whatever he calls you to do, be faithful and receive the calling. Everybody I know that's an apostle, almost all of them. And that's a lot. I don't know many apostles, but almost all of them have something in common. They crawfish away from it. Just like you have to receive salvation and healing if you need it, prosperity if you need it, or whatever you need, healing for your children, you have to receive God's word so you can believe him, so you can get the job done. Now, if the Lord warned you about something, you have to absorb that too, in order to have faith to get the job done or to avoid the problem. You have to believe the proverb that says don't be surety for anybody, which means don't co-sign for people. You have to believe the proverb when it say how dangerous a seductive woman is, how she's attached to hell. The verse that says she's the gateway to hell. People that go down her path don't come back. You have to trust God's word on that. It obviously don't look like it's true in certain situations, but it is. So, when the Lord calls you to do something, you have to receive your calling, just like you receive salvation, just like you receive healing, just like you receive instruction. And if you go back and think about it, you benefit from what you received and had faith in. Now, some things are going. You'll be. It's easier for you to believe and have faith and operate in than others. Why not do everything? Why not believe every word that proceeds out of God's mouth? What will happen if you start receiving 100% of what you hear? Now, you can judge good and evil. We all can. And if you hear something that stands out, that's the Holy Spirit. If you follow the peace, you won't be deceived. If you hear something and it sounds like God, pray. You can always ask the Lord to teach you more or help you understand. I do it all the time. Anywhere that I feel like I may lack something, or not, or I might fail. I said, Lord, show me how to love your people. Show me this, what you're saying. Help me understand it. If I act on the word of God and I believe I'm in faith and things are happening slow, I ask questions. It's easy to receive information. If you don't ask and you think you got it figured out, time will tell, because your life won't work right. There are times I did everything I knew, everything I'd been taught, I acted on it, and I said, something's wrong. I knew something was wrong. I knew that there was something else I did not know about prosperity, because I had a problem prospering the way I wanted to, the way I believed I could. And guess what the Lord showed me? He showed me the root problem, and I solved it. See, sometimes people, they get caught up in one style, and they'll learn one element of truth from certain pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, professors, and they have one style that they receive to. If God want to use them mightily, he has to come through that style. And they resist other things. They reject, if it comes another way, if it comes another route, they may be faster to reject it than receive it. But if you're around the word enough, eventually you say, hey, they're not wrong about this point. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's possible, but not probable. It's possible that a person can be right on many things, but it's probable that they lack knowledge somewhere. In fact, that's scriptural. If we know in part, that means we lack knowledge in part. Some elements that we need to finish our course, we're going to have to get it across the aisle. Sometimes God's going to have to train you in something that nobody has ever learned, or it's an element that people have forgotten about. It's in the word, but people haven't caught on to it. One thing is confessions. Charles Capps in modern times taught about confessing faith. Once Kenneth Hagin taught people about faith and how to operate, and he taught people how to use their tongue according to what James taught in chapter 3, that you can use your mouth to speak God's word on purpose to satisfy and perform his will in the earth, his will in your life. You still got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you confess the word, and you don't confess the things that's tearing your life apart. That's wisdom. It's scriptural. But he got so much mail trying to convince him otherwise, because people don't want to let go of what's been killing them, because they see things a certain way and they believe things a certain way. Sometimes you just got to make adjustments. Now, if you make the adjustments, you can go forward. Now, when it comes to, like I was saying about the apostle, you have to believe the Lord. What he reveals to you, you got to receive it just like you would a promise, because he created you for a purpose. If he calls you to be a pastor, it's wise for you to be a pastor. He designed you for the purpose of helping people grow, being patient with people that are just starting out. A pastor is a lot like a parent. They help people grow up. They get them to a point of maturity so that they can finish their course. And the good people, good pastors that do their job, they help train people up. And then the people can go forward and do great things. The children go to college and they do well and excel in life because they were trained properly. Teachers teach people the word of God, and you got to do it God's way. Now, people receive, they want to receive one type of method of doing it. when the Holy Spirit will have you doing something that nobody has ever seen before. You could be a teacher and sing songs and teach people through song. You can be a teacher and write songs. Same anointing. Whatever God give you, you have to receive it and do what he give you to do. That's following God. That's how you learn greater things. And if you don't have pride, you can learn from anybody. And you know, some people look down at others. That's not God's way. That's wrong all by itself. But you have to believe the word to resist the leaven of the Pharisee. It's all in the church. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't. It was worse than I thought. God, he just let me run right into that wall. And that's why people don't go forward. They haven't driven out the leaven of the Pharisees. We all have the obligation to drive out the Canaanites. Backbiting. Slander. Pride. Looking at people as if they're inferior. Or even looking to people as if they're superior. All of it's wrong. God said, the Father said, we're joint heirs with Christ. That means we're all important. That means everybody is important. Even if they're younger, older, or they come from across the aisle, they're just as important as you are. Now, you got to follow God yourself. Some people won't make that choice, but they were washed in the blood of Christ. And they still got something you don't have that's valuable. I believe every person has something, whether they know it or not, that nobody else has. Because if they get in the Word of God, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will draw out those treasures that he put there. Because I've learned so many things from different people, all walks of life. They said something that just made the day. If you can be receptive, you can receive. And you're going to have faith for life. And you confess it. And it works. The leaven of the Pharisee don't look like, it don't look deadly. But when you go in God's presence, and you've been in God's presence, you've taken a picture of a higher standard. And when people act opposite, the red flag goes up. And things are detectable. You compare spiritual things with spiritual things. When you go in God's presence and you're around him, you see things you didn't see before. When you receive his word, you see things from a greater point of view. So whatever God gives you to do, stop depending on people to understand. You don't need them to understand. You're complete in him. If you can receive what he's saying to you personally, it's not going to go away. He's not going to change his mind. And whatever he anoints you for, you got the anointing to do this. Like we were saying, some people, the tragedy is God anointing them. He gave them a gift and they asked the Lord to take it back because they wanted to be what they thought was normal. Fear looks to man. You can't go forward like that. And then you bear children that's going to act the same way. You put hurdles in front of them that they got to unnecessarily jump over. It wasn't necessary. You could have followed God and you would have learned things you can't learn any other way. And then your children would have picked up where you left off and continued. Just like Timothy, his grandmother Eunice, the same gifts that was in her was in him. And it's highly possible that the same gifts and callings that we have, the Lord will put them in our children. It's important to follow God. Be receptive. Absorb what he's saying to you. Mix faith as if it's a desired promise that you're standing on. And I've seen a lot of people do this. They stand on the promise till they get what they're after. And they don't let up. And they receive it. They believe God for what they sincerely want. And they ask him for it. And they wind up with it. And I'm happy for everyone that do that. But God is good. And his mercy endures forever. He's going to help you. Just be receptive to him. And do it in his strength. Don't do it in yours. When I tell people to walk in love, their countenance fall. So many times. They say, well, that's just hard. Yeah, if you do it yourself. Salvation. You didn't do that yourself. You were saved because of what Christ did. You're saved in him. Healing. He paid the price. You're just believing. You're receiving. What else? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love people not with my efforts, with his strength. That's how I learned to walk in love. My strength ran out and he gave me strength. And I said, I want more of that. And I want to know how not to be troubled in the first place. Teach me how to love your people. And I became more receptive. I'm going to tell you right now, the best blessing you can receive beside the Holy Spirit is the love of God in you. And your decision to receive it and operate according to his kind of love, the same love that Jesus showed towards you, the Father showed towards you, sending the Son, and the Son laying down his life for you. Lay down your life for others. Put others first. In love, in sincere love, not feigned love, but sincere love. Good things happen. I treasure that more than anything else. Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Stay receptive. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.